but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Experience the awakening. Brilliant anonymous researchers. Patriots, join us in the Patriot Army. Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. The end won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
I mean, we have been fighting here for about four some odd years, Shady Groove. It's been an amazing ride, and we're still here every day, Monday through Friday, 2 hours of content a day. You know, I just can't believe we're still rolling, and we're sponsored by you guys, the beautiful listeners at Brighteon.tv, Red State Talk Radio. Use your spy device if you're on the roll. Tune into Red State Talk Radio to hear us live on the fly. Rumble.com/MG Show. We love you. And also, Shady, you know, we've got our podcast if you miss the show. And if you miss this show live, it's always here at the same link as the live show. It's archived on Rumble.com. So, Shady, we have a pretty amazing birthday to celebrate today. And I just want to give a quick shout out to our Poussin. And
yes,
happy birthday. And we love you, Poussin, so much.
We do. And thank you for all of your work. Poussin has been here with the team since the beginning, and we really greatly appreciate her. And have a very, very wonderful happy birthday today, Poussin.
You know, you get me crying a little bit because we've been through a lot together, Shady. We've been, you know, we've had good times, sad times, splits that we've managed to work through. You know, she helps with this show every day. You know, she helps with Queued Up Show as well. You know, we love her very much. She's like a big sister to me, Shady.
Yes, she is. She's the perfect big sister.
And I don't want any more noogies or swirlies. I'm back. We love you, Poussin. Happy birthday. And I hope you have the best ever. You're an amazing person, and we love you. And Shady, you know, we've got a special guest today. We've got Dr. Fleming here coming on in a minute. We're not sponsored by Lucifizer. We're sponsored by you, the people. And we're also sponsored by fieldofgreens.com. Use code MG Show. You know, I'm tired of, you know, trying to, you know, cook. I don't have a lot of time. I'm not a great cook. Vegetables, Shady?
Not a fan.
But we got to eat them. Five healthy scoops of vegetables, five healthy servings of fruits, and fieldofgreens.com is your way. It'll help boost your metabolism. It'll help you get to the gym. It gives you some energy. It gives me energy anyways. Fieldofgreens.com right here. This is the one that I use right here. They are backed with the Better Health Promise. If your doctor will say, hey, keep up what you're doing. And if they don't, if you're not happy, they will return your money, and we'll get you set up right now for 15% off. Fieldofgreens.com. Use that code MG Show, guys. We really need you to test it out. Try it, please try it. But if you continue, you'll get an additional 10 off if you subscribe. But we really need you guys to try it. They are a sponsor, so they're actually helping us live every day. We don't get monies from actual. They're actually sponsoring our show. But we use MG Show, the code, to make sure that it's set and they know that it's coming from us. So we need your guys' help to get sponsors like this, fieldofgreens.com. Use code MG Show. And Shady, let's just take a quick break. And Yeti's probably got it ready. Let's roll that beautiful boom footage, Dr. Fleming, after the break.
Hang tight.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back.
The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
And welcome back to the show, guys, where we have very important guests and, you know, the news of the day as seen with two dudes reading the news with some views. Shady Groove, welcome back. So we're going to be introducing Dr. Richard Fleming. Is COVID-19 a bioweapon? And he wrote a book called Is COVID-19 a Bioweapon? And it's a scientific and forensic investigation. Without any further ado, I think the best way to do this is to hand it over to you, Dr. Fleming. Welcome to the show. Think the answer is yes, but I think you can probably explain it to us a lot better than just that. Welcome to the MG show, Dr. Fleming. Thank you for coming.
How you doing?
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be invited. Let me begin by saying happy birthday to the young lady whose birthday it is. We could sing happy birthday to her, but we won't do that this time around. SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, I wish I could say it was something that was just naturally occurring or looked like it. But, this is the 55th year of research that I've been doing in my life. And at the end of 2019, I thought I was going to be doing something else with it, taking a patented method that I had developed that's now called Fleming Method to allow us to find health problems, heart disease, cancer, the like, earlier. Design treatments and pinpoint what works for you and specifically. But when January of 2020 hit, that world changed like all of your worlds. And I simply looked at what was coming out, what was going on around the world, and began the process of trying to figure out what type of research needed to be done to really find treatments for these viruses. And you know what I say, viruses, because even though we use the term SARS-CoV-2, it's more than one virus. The evidence shows that there were three viruses that they built and designed with the intention of enhancing the ability of these viruses to infect people and cause disease. And so while I was beginning that process and designing that research study, I had to also know what it was that I was working with, or I'd be shooting in the dark. And that investigation led to more than two decades worth of research that was funded by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Department of Commerce and USAID and Health and Human Services, the National Science Foundation, Department of Commerce, Agriculture, and the Interior, where they put together more than $61 million over a couple of decades, allowing Barrick and Shizhang Li and Peter Daszak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology at the University of North Carolina, and Fort Detrick, which, by the way, during this time period, during 2021, actually tried to recruit me as a physicist to work at Fort Detrick for viruses that were being paid for by NIAID. So they just kind of added salt to the wound when they did that. But the data very clearly shows that when we look at the viruses that was being produced, there's three of them that crop up, and we talk about them in the book. One's RSSHC014, which used to be called by Barrick originally SARS Urbani, which was a virus that was rescued from non-existence through recombinant engineering, which was the early work that they were doing. And then two other viruses, one known as MA15 and one known as RS3367. And it turns out that all three of those viruses have the same footprint, if you will, the same PCR markers for what we call SARS-CoV-2. And it's kind of nice, they hid three inside one name by telling you there's one virus. And that's possibly one of the first things for people to grasp, which is they didn't just build one of these. It wasn't just an accidental one time. This was two decades worth of invested research, taking gain of function research, taking CRISPR technology and modifying viruses to make them something that didn't exist. And so, you know, the justification that they want you to accept is this term known as dual use. And the reason why it's called dual use is you could use it for something good. Yeah, you could. Or you could use it for something bad. And unfortunately, you know, when you look at the players, when you realize that the United States Department of Defense spent more than half of that went into this, you know, and the last time I checked, the DOD wasn't working with the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. You know, they build weapon systems, right? Right. And there's not a weapon system that hasn't been built, that hasn't been tested. In 2019, on the 12th of November, 2019, the U.S. Department of Defense gave more than $400,000 to Ukraine for COVID-19 documents. 7 weeks before anybody heard about this going on. Now, the response about a year ago when that information first came out was, oh, Fleming, you and the other people just, you're not doing your due diligence. The DOD didn't write it originally for COVID. They wrote it for non-COVID and they added COVID to it later. The only problem with that is that if you actually go look at the government website where these grants are discussed, the fact checkers said in April and June of 2020, the DOD added COVID-19. But when you look at the contracts, the DOD didn't add anything in April or June of 2020. It was there from the beginning. So 7 weeks before anybody had even heard about these viruses, at least on this side of the fence, the Department of Defense is granting over $400,000 of money through the Labyrinth Corporation to go to the Ukraine. Right about a year ago, we started the Crimes Against Humanity tour to try to drive home across the country what had been going on. And it was ironic because I had to change the slides at the beginning of the presentation to say, I don't have to actually come on here and prove to anybody anymore that the United States builds biolabs in other people's countries, because the Ukraine shows us right up front 15 biolabs with four mobile ones that we were doing. And we now know the DOD has admitted to having more than 40 with over $400 million of money invested. And, you know, we now find ourselves funding. We're funding a war in the Ukraine. We may not have soldiers there yet. We may not have American men and women there yet. But we've paid a massive amount of money to another country to fight a war that you have to question both sides of the war. I mean, you have to question the Ukrainians. You have to question the Russians. This perspective that one side's good and one side's bad, you know, Russia was in there building biolabs before they left. Now the Ukraine has our biolabs. You know, if you were Putin, you'd probably be a little ticked off too. And I don't like the man. Okay. Just right up front. I don't like him. I don't have any time for him. There's nothing about him that I go, oh, that's a good human being. He's doing the right thing. No. But he certainly has an excuse for going in there. And now we're spending, I don't know how much time and money. And, you know, on a completely different target, you know, the Ukrainian flag doesn't belong in the Senate, and it doesn't belong anywhere, you know, the United States Senate. It belongs in their Senate, but it doesn't belong in our Senate. And that's just a perspective as an American citizen, and an American citizen that's deeply invested in this country, because two things that I always point out to people when there's enough time is that the Declaration of Independence, 2/3 of that comes from my Flemish family documents from the 1500s. All Jefferson did was he translated it from Flemish to English, and then he added 1/3 from the British people from the 1600s, and you got the Declaration of Independence. It was first a Flemish declaration of war, and then it became an American declaration of war. And secondly, one of my ancestors, Captain Fleming, crossed the Delaware with Washington on Christmas Eve because, wow, you know, Vikings don't know when to go home. You know, we we tend to always be wherever the battle is. So, you know, sometimes people have asked me, why have I done all this? And the answer is, I don't really have a choice. I have 55 years invested in science as a physicist and as a nuclear cardiologist. And I dumped down my degrees and got a law degree to go with it. And I don't really have any choice when I see people breaking the law, violating the Biological Weapons Convention Treaty, violating 18 U.S. Section 175 of federal law that codified or put into law what we signed in the treaty, which is we weren't going to build biological weapons or biological weapons of any sort. If we were going to make people destroy them, we weren't going to hide it from anybody. And it's also important to know that the United States is the country that blocked verification of that treaty to right. validate which countries are doing it. It wasn't Russia, it wasn't Israel, it wasn't New Zealand, it wasn't anybody else, it was us. So when you put that in context, you realize that there's been this underlining vested interest of not letting people know what we've been doing as a country. And, you know, of late, you know, all this Wall Street Journal and everybody else talking about this, you know, what I see is what I usually see, which is somebody using a crisis to manipulate other people into the mindset that they want them to have. And the mindset that they're trying to drive us into right now, at least my take on it, is that they want us to start hating the Chinese people and to be ready to go to war with China. And the Chinese people are the Chinese people. They're not the government. Just like Americans are the American people, we're not the government that did these wrongs. The Israeli people are the Israeli people. They are not Israel, the government. You know, in World War II, we got this completely confused. We took Japanese Americans who were Americans and we put them in prisoner of war camps. We called them internment camps, but we put American citizens in prisoner of war camps in this country merely because they had some ancestry with another country, but we didn't do that to German Americans, right? So you have to raise these questions in your mind of who's trying to manipulate who and why. And this is a classic example of the people in power having funded research, both gain of function research and CRISPR technology research that, you know, I don't think they released it intentionally. I think it got out of their control, which shows they didn't have as good a control on it as they thought they did. There's a lesson in that for people. Anytime these people think they're that smart, they're probably not. But they're playing with their tinker toys. They're playing Jurassic Park, whatever you want to call it. And they're working on the shoulders of other people, but they don't understand fully what they're working with. And they don't care in the experimentation phase because the rollout of these gain of function viruses that we document in the book, who paid the monies, who published the research, what two patents got that put out, you know, the furin cleavage site and the one that shows that Anthony Fauci's NIAID paid the money that Ralph Barrick and other people from the University of North Carolina got a patent for. Well, that patent means they did it. You don't get a patent for an idea. You have to show you can do it. And that patent shows that Barrick and the others were intentionally manipulating the spike protein of coronaviruses to change them. And, you know, going back to 1999, we can see where the U.S. Department of Health got involved in this. And that Urbani clone that Barrick did with reverse genetics, which is the early version of things, was in 2000. And it was only in 2003 that Shi Zheng Li took part of HIV, the glycoprotein 120 attachment site, and put it into the HKU4 spike protein of the coronaviruses she was working with to take viruses that couldn't infect people, and now they could. So, you know, they have been doing this blatantly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to so interesting. So I'm watching the news as well, right? You were talking about blaming it on China. Where did it come from? China. Well, it was released in China. but they're missing some major connections about the origins that I find very interesting. And you just kind of mentioned them with Ukraine, right? And the U.S. government. Why are they going to keep silent? I mean, are they waiting for something? I mean, now, and I wanted to ask you about this too. The Senate unanimously passed a bill that requiring the declass of information related to the origins of the COVID pandemic. Do you think we're going to get the truth? Do you think we're going to get the DTRA and, you know, all of the different connections that go all the way down to Ukraine, that, you know, Metabiota, Black and Veatch, Bill Bio, you know, all of that? Are we going to get the truth? What is your, go ahead.
You know, so this has been going on the last few days with people been asking this. And one of the early changes that they did to these viruses was they took the backbone of one virus and put the spike protein of another there, and then they did five other insertions. And the reason why that always comes to mind is that I think it may be time to take the backbone of something and install it in our elected officials so that when they start talking about actually doing something on this, they do more than give it lip service. Yeah. They actually investigate. If the Senate will call me to testify, I will bring with me USB drives that have more than 4,900 documents on them that are the same thing that we intend every state attorney general in this country to have through the efforts of U.S. citizens using a website known as 10letters.org. So the number 10, followed by letters.org, where we're asking American citizens to stand up and do their job as American citizens. Go on, scroll to the bottom where it says build my letter, and it will right at the bottom there, and you click on that and it will ask you for your name and your address and your state. Now there's also that little box here that says hide my address on this. So if you click on that, your address and name will not show up on the cover letter. But the reason we have to know your name and address is so that it will build a cover letter to your governor and your attorney general, not somebody else's. Wow. And then you can go to that site, download the indictment letter, which is a 6-page document that I have signed. Dr. Kevin McCarron, one of the world premier neurobiologists on prion diseases out of Japan. Mr. Charles Rixey, who is a former instructor for the U.S. military for weapons of mass destruction, who has documents confirming mine. Dr. Johanna Deinert from Germany, and Dr. Andrew Huff, who worked at EcoHealth Alliance, who's also part of our team, who wrote these grants to get funding for gain-of-function research. And that letter for indictment and the cover letter, if people will go online and do that and then ask 10 people they know to do that and then mail those in to the governors and attorney generals, the evidence that's contained in the indictment letter is the book, Is COVID-19 a Bioweapon? A Scientific and Forensic Investigation, to make the attorney generals aware, because I will provide free these to the grand jury and the real juries once they get going for indictments, so they have these documents to read and not be confused to see it in black and white in front of them. It also has a deposition that was taken of me under oath here in Texas by an attorney. So I was sworn in by a real court reporter under oath. It's perjury if I lie. Mm-hmm. Under oath by an attorney that has argued before and won before the Supreme Court, and an affidavit that lays out many of the details that the attorney generals need to know. This type of information will allow the attorney generals to go to a grand jury, which is different. So I need to separate for people in their mind the different type of court cases we're talking about. There's really four different avenues to go down. And most people want to go down the symptom, not the disease. So the symptoms are the vaccines, the genetic vaccines, the interference with the practice of medicine and all the mandates. Those are the symptoms. They are the result of the disease. The disease is the gain of function that produced these viruses and the CRISPR technology. So you can cover up the symptoms as much as you want. Those are civil litigations. And they wrote the rules on these civil litigations. You know, if you listen to the people saying you can't sue them, that's right. because they wrote the rules. They wrote the playbook on how to win, and you can't defeat them if you're just going after the symptoms. But if we go after the disease, the gain of function, that is criminal. They haven't rewritten that. That's solid. And we've got them on that. We've got the evidence on that. And once you cure the disease, you take out the disease, the symptoms all get better. And why is that important? Because right now, while everybody's worried about the symptoms, the genetic vaccines for SARS-CoV-2 or COVID, the medications, the masking, the mandates, they have rolled out since the end of October, 5 new genetic vaccines that you may not even know they've rolled out. One is for cancer. Can you say I am legend? A genetic vaccine for cancer. One for amyloidosis. It turns out that these spike proteins and these viruses and these genetic vaccines cause two types of diseases. One that I first talked about at American Heart in 1994, inflammatory thrombotic response, so inflammation and blood clotting. That produces a lot of the disease. And we have more than 425,000 excess deaths not associated with, you know, the diagnosis of COVID, but just 425,000 excess deaths in the U.S. in the last, since January 2020, for heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and strokes, inflammatory thrombotic diseases, and another 107,000 for Alzheimer's, which is a prion disease, which is the other type of disease that's associated with this virus and these genetic vaccines. Prions are abnormal proteins. And you've undoubtedly seen all the discussion about these clots being taken out of people. Well, we've done the research. We did it between September and November of 2019. It took over a year to get a journal to accept it, with the last two actually turning us down saying, if we accept your research, Dr. Fleming, it means people will question the vaccine. Well, duh, they should. Because what we showed in this research is that when the vaccines are directly added to human blood, red blood turns gray and the blood begins to clot. The blood's no longer able to carry oxygen and the blood clots that I talked about are formed. So when you're wondering what they're pulling out of people, it's not nanotechnology. It's not little creatures. It's abnormally folded clotting proteins that have been affected cryogenically by the vaccines, changing them, and the normal mechanisms to dissolve the blood clots won't work because it's like a lock and a key. And the key or the lock are the clotting proteins, and the key is are the chemicals in our blood that normally break them apart. Well, the clotting proteins have been changed by the prions from the viruses and the genetic vaccines. So the key won't fit in the lock anymore, and it can't break up the blood clots. And people are dying in massive numbers.
This, you know, so Dr.
This
Fleming,
is drilling up.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
My mom's doctor just died of a stroke, and he worked in the hospital system that had to get the vaccine. He was older, but he just died of a stroke. And that's one of the major symptoms of this disease, of the gain of research or gain of function. I'm seeing people that I know now actually pass away, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, I want to quick, just make sure you guys go to 10letters.org. Okay. I'm going to sign it today and get that out for myself as well. I'm not going to hide my address cause I don't care. but you know, this is what's very important. I want to, they got mine too. I mean, but as you review these materials in the book and at 10letters.org, I'm going to quote this. As you read the materials, you will see there are a number of federal crimes that have been committed. The equivalent of these federal criminal actions indictable under the state statutes included, but are not limited to murder, attempted murder, manslaughter, reckless homicide, reckless endangerment, assault, battery, false imprisonment, and perjury. I mean, those are some huge claims, and I agree with every single one of them.
Well, we have the evidence to do it. And so as we started on this question, you know, if Congress really wants to know the answers, I'm here. There's jets that leave Dallas to Washington, D.C. If they have the courage to know the truth, I will be happy to present that. And my colleagues will be happy to present that, too. who have this evidence and information. And if Congress wants to take this on, I would applaud Congress, but the question is whether they really need a backbone transplant or if they already have a backbone to do their job, because it's the reality is once you recognize what's happened, now it's contingent on the United States of America to do what we've been telling other people to do for a couple hundred years, which is to hold yourself accountable, deal with your problems, move forward to make your society a better society. And when you make a mistake, deal with it, but don't expect other people to deal with it. This isn't Nuremberg too. Nuremberg were crimes against Germany and then crimes against humanity. We have here are crimes against America and then crimes against humanity. And people around the world, this is now our 39th month. We're in March 2023. Congratulations. We are now in our 39th month. More than two decades of work building up to it. Our 39th month, people around the world that I talk to, scientists, physicians, and the general public have one basic question, which is, where are you, America? Where are you, America? It's time we address our problem. There are 1.1 million Americans from COVID. There are 1.5 million maimed Americans from the vaccine. That's more deaths and more injuries than the U.S. military has suffered since 1776. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, you needed to make that point. And if you look at our bottom two thirds, we have the vaccine related deaths, 34,478, the VAERS incidents, 1.5 million. And those numbers are probably what I think Dr. Huff said, you know, times 20. Yeah, they're low. But I wanted to show you this, and we even have them on camera laughing about it, saying that you were clinically tested on. Check this out.
And yet, despite the fact that we've now essentially clinically tested the vaccine on billions of people worldwide, around one in five Americans is still willing to put themselves at risk and put their families at risk rather than get vaccinated.
What an admission.
People are dying because of misinformation.
So he even laughed.
Yeah. Let's deal with the misinformation here. Okay, because former President Obama is not a scientist or a physician. He doesn't have the qualifications to be making these statements. And, you know, the reality is, despite what everybody has been told, there is not a single vaccine in the history of vaccines that prevent people from getting infected or transmitting either a virus or bacteria that you've been vaccinated for. And the reason for that is very simple. When we give vaccines to people, the purpose is to develop an immune response. And then after that, to develop memory cells, cells in your body, in your immune system that remember having been exposed, so that when you become infected, it takes you less time to respond. That means for a vaccine to work, you must become infected. And if you are infected, even if you're asymptomatic, you can transmit it. You know, one of the misconceptions is that there is no such thing as an asymptomatic carrier. There certainly is. Every human being, when they first get infected, is an asymptomatic carrier, because you don't develop symptoms until you develop an immune response. Yes. Uh-huh. We're all asymptomatic carriers originally. But the vaccines, no vaccine in the history of anything, prevent you from getting infected. They shorten your response time is the goal. And the critical thing in the emergency use authorization document, two things, and you can find them on FlemingMethod.com. That's a website I put together with a lot of things under the publications, the fourth column. There's 444 papers there for you to read. Number 2, 3, and 51 are the Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen vaccine EUAs. And you should read those for two reasons. First off, when you're submitting a claim to get a drug approved, that's a vaccine, the evidence that needs to be there is that it actually does what a vaccine does. It develops an immune response. So at the first part, 3 to 5 days, the innate, I-N-N-A-T-E, you're going to see chemicals released by T cells. Those chemicals measured and reported in any of those EUAs, the answer is they were not. That data is not there. At 7 to 10 days, you develop the adaptive humoral antibody response. Is there antibody data in those EUAs? The answer is there is not. There is not. The data that should be in those EUAs to show an immune response by these genetic vaccines is missing in those EUAs, and yet they cleared it. The second thing is that if you do what a scientist physician like myself does, and you want to know whether something works, you have to say, okay, I can't just look at the numbers. I have to ask, are these numbers that I'm looking at statistically significant, or is it just chance that I'm saying the difference in numbers, right? Yeah, when you do the statistics on it, and I've lectured on this now for, we're going on 3 years, a little bit more than two, and you do the statistics, it turns out that the Pfizer, the data in the EUA does not show a statistical reduction in COVID cases for the people that were vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine versus those who were not. When you look at the Moderna data, it does not show a statistical reduction in COVID cases for the people who got vaccinated with Moderna vaccine versus those who did not. When you look at the Janssen, what everybody calls Johnson & Johnson, the company's Janssen out of Belgium, they presented two sets of data, 12 days or 14 days, 28 days, 2 weeks and 4 weeks. At 2 weeks, there is a statistical reduction in COVID cases with the Janssen vaccine. Okay, but 2 weeks later, at 1 month, 4 weeks, that's gone. There is no difference. So it's a great argument for vaccinating somebody every 2 weeks with Janssen, right? That's their best argument right there, because the reality is the EUA data doesn't show any immune data, and what it did look at doesn't show any statistical benefit for any of the three vaccines, and yet have 1.5 million adverse events. And it does look, there was one paper published a number of years ago that said maybe it only shows 1 or 10%. One paper, I won't hang my hat on one paper. Here's the thing. If 1.5 million doesn't get your attention, putting one or two zeros behind it isn't going to do anything for you anyway. 1.5 million, mm-hmm. So you need 15 million, 150 million. You know, if 1.5 million doesn't get more maimed Americans than the U.S. military has suffered since 1776. 33,500 plus vaccine deaths, a different number than yours, but it's from the CDC that I get these numbers, are more deaths than we have lost in every war the U.S. has been involved with except our five bloodiest. We lose more people every week from COVID-19 than we lost at Pearl Harbor or Twin Towers. Americans now painfully know somebody who has either died or been harmed as a result of these gain-of-function biological viral weapons that are a violation of treaty law, of federal law, and of state law. And if we do not take the criminals down, if we do not hold them accountable, we have already seen that they've released five new genetic vaccines, one for cancer, one for amyloidosis, a disease we're dealing with the spike protein in the viruses of the heart, of cystic fibrosis, of influenza and cystic and respiratory syncytial virus. And they've got about 15 in the wings waiting to come out, with the World Health Organization and the IHR claiming hundreds that they want to vaccinate the world with. And nobody has batted an eye. There's been no question about animal research. There's been no discussion of it. No discussion in mainstream media, no discussion by alternative media. I got it. You're overwhelmed with a lot of things. But the reality is they just slid these out at the end of October, early November, and everybody is so inundated with everything else. They don't realize that phase two has hit. Phase two has hit. And if we want to stop what they're doing, we need to hold them criminally accountable. We need to do it with 10letters.org at the attorney general's, the state attorney general's level, where they will coalesce. And we need to do it in Congress. If Senator Dr. Rand Paul or Charles Grassley, a favorite of mine since I'm originally from Iowa, and he stands up for the right thing most of the time that I've known Senator Grassley, or any of the others want to invite us to come to Congress and lay out our information for them, I will be on the next jet to get to Washington, D.C., and I will do it under oath, as we should, because Anthony Fauci has something to now be concerned about, because under oath, he lied not only to Senator Dr. Rand Paul and the committee, but to the American public who was watching him when he said the United States does not fund, or NIH does not fund, research on gain of function of coronaviruses, and the patent shows he's an absolute liar. And I challenge Dr. Fauci to respond to that. I challenge him to a debate on the topic, and I challenge him to meet me in Congress in Washington, D.C. before the committees to give testimony.
Boom. And if you're listening, this bill was passed by, Josh Hawley and Senator Braun. So Senator Braun and Josh Hawley, maybe reach out to them as well. And you guys, the listeners, tell them Dr. Fleming's willing to testify for right in front, under oath, guys. You know, reach out to your senators, Josh Hawley and Braun, Braun. He's out of Indiana, and Hawley's out of Missouri. Those are the ones that passed the bill. It still needs to pass the House, and we have control of the House. So let's see what happens with this. But I have a feeling they're going to leave out a lot of important topics that you're addressing right here on this show today, sir.
Well, we're going to drive it through until it is painfully clear, and we're going to let the rest of the world know that the United States of America has not yet died. We might be hanging on by a thread, but there are enough American citizens that we would rather live with having addressed a wrong that happened on our watch than to allow them to continue this. Look, President Eisenhower, when he left office, warned us, warned the nation, warned the world about the military-industrial complex that he knew had started to take root in the United States. Boom. Directly the result from the Nazis intelligence officers and other individuals that came out of Nazi Germany at the end of World War II that were brought to the United States, that began their infiltrative process in the country. And Eisenhower warned. Now, my parents and my grandparents dropped the ball. I love them dearly, but they dropped the ball. Yeah. It's our responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's every American's responsibility to see that we do not allow this ball to drop, because what's just been rolled out, what we leave to our children, our grandchildren, the people we care about, the legacy of the United States of America is now on the line.
It absolutely is. And I think he just made a great point right there, you know, and I think that the blessing that we have to look at right now is that that generation didn't have access to information. Their ability to access information was very sparse. It was very hard for them to find anything. And right now we're in a world where we can have Dr. Fleming on, we can have people on, we can show you guys the truth, but we have to have the upchain action. We have to have all of you out there contacting your representatives and telling them that this gentleman's testimony is very, very important to you, and you don't understand why they're doing this stuff up on the Hill without having him here to present his information. Because, you know, that challenge that he's mentioning right there to Dr. Fauci, I think that every American would stand with you, sir, in that people who are really American, not these Marxists over here, but they would really stand with that, because that is what we stand for, is transparency, and we've really just not been getting any of it.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? Let me just, you brought that point. Let's play it.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
I mean, that was huge, guys. I thought this was the actual speech, but, you know, I tried to pull it up on the fly. But that's, you know, they basically renamed.
This is a
they basically renamed the, you know, military-industrial complex, Big Pharma, And, you know, with the biological labs, it kind of, you know, this is, you know, Pfizer is the military industrial complex, Moderna, these companies, the DTRA out of the Pentagram. you've got, you know, all these other companies funding this. You've got, you know, NGOs funding as well. You've got, you know, DARPA was involved. I mean, just CDC, AP, all the three letter agencies. Is that what we're saying? Is Big Pharma now basically the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about?
Well, they're certainly a major part of it, and they're doing it through U.S. agencies. I mean, the FDA pulls twice as many drugs from the market every year as they approve. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with an agency that is doing such a pathetically bad job that it has to take twice as many drugs off the market as it approves? Why not do your job up front, do it correctly, take longer to approve drugs, and not have to spend your time pulling them later on because of American citizens dying and being harmed? You know, yeah. I would be embarrassed to be working at the FDA. I have repeatedly argued with them, and you can go to FlemingMethod.com and you can look at the criminal case that I was involved with and how I went up against Big Pharma, and I got knocked down really hard because evidence was hidden. I'm proud of the work that I did because I was standing up for the patients and up against Big Pharma. And all they did was educate me and allow me to understand, and went off and got a law degree in addition to it, which just makes me more of an issue for them because now I know how they cheated. And so I can call them on this game. I'm not, you know, this is not a new language to me. I've learned how to speak it. I've learned how to deal with it, you know, and the reality is the FDA frequently finds excuses for why they shouldn't have to investigate Big Pharma or to address harms caused by the drugs they approve. And then the other thing they do, might as well get into this. It's one of those symptoms. Go ahead.
One second, because we're going to be leaving Brighteon.tv, but we're going to still roll here, right here on Rumble.com/MG Show. Make sure to get the book as well. Yeti, throw that link up there for everybody at Brighteon right now. It's mgshow.link/bio-COVID, all lowercase, mgshow.link/bio-COVID. That'll take you right here to Skyhorse Publishing. This will help, relentless fight against the people that we're fighting for as well. There is the book right there. It is COVID-19, a bioweapon. mgshow.link/bio-COVID for those of you listening on the radio, or just go to Skyhorse Publishing and put in Richard Fleming and you'll find it there as well. We thank you very much for that. So we're going to be rolling for the next 5-7 minutes right here. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're leaving one of our platforms, Brighteon.tv. We love you.
Perfect.
Back to you.
Brighteon's an excellent source. I think Mike Adams is on there with that. And it was actually at Mike Adams' location that we went and did the blood work and vaccine work and used the microscopes and analyzed that. And we will be, that recently got published on the 13th of January. I think Skyhorse is planning to do a press release on it. I'm presenting it at the IAOMT conference in Allen, Texas, which is a northern suburb of Dallas, on the 18th, I think, of March. It's on the Saturday. I was going to address, further interference with the FDA. You know, if they're going to have a drug and they're going to approve it and they're going to leave it on the market, then they need to quit getting in the face of doctors who are using FDA-approved drugs. This is not the function of the FDA to determine how physicians practice medicine. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We've done the research. We've measured which drugs work. I also have some concerns with other drugs that people prescribe. But I'm not going to get into a debate or an argument on that, because the reality is physicians and their patients have a right to select the medications and treatments they want to do under informed consent. If those drugs are FDA approved drugs, the practice of medicine is not controlled by the FDA. the approval of drugs is controlled by the FDA. And once you've approved it, either unapprove it, pull it from the market, or shut up.
Right.
Be quiet. Don't practice medicine. Go ahead.
That don't practice medicine. So, like, is that with regards to the HCQ and the ivermectin? I mean, they, if you used it as a doctor, they would, you know, take your license away. I mean, they threatened you, people. They censored you. I mean,
And remember, these are civil litigation suits that are not going to win until the criminal disease gain of function is addressed. And once we do this, then these other things, these symptoms are going to take care of themselves. I did research. Some of the drugs I can speak to, and because of the way we did the drugs, we also combined drugs. So I can also tell you drugs that combined make people worse. You know, I can tell you, give me a little latitude here. I can tell you better than anybody else on this planet about remdesivir.
Oh.
And the reason why I can tell you better than anybody else about remdesivir is we included it as one of the drugs. So we actually measured the effect. And it worked 28.1% of the time or 28.3% of the time. So if you're a patient who got that and you benefited, you think this stuff is gold, right? And that's what you always think. Put you on a medicine, it works for you, it's gold. Doesn't work for you, it's garbage, right? No.
Sure.
The reality is, if you have a drug that can make you better, stay the same, or get worse, you have a 33 and a third, it works 28.7% of the time, which is less than a chance. But also, when it was combined with other drugs, it made people worse. Now, the medical community has been pretty well splintered, right? And I'm old enough, I was a medical student when HIV came out. Okay, back in the dark ages, Anthony Fauci and me. And we didn't just quit. You know, we worked on things. I don't remember seeing Fauci at the hospital, but we worked on things. We took care of patients. We did deal with their symptoms, but we went for the underlying disease to deal with it as well. That's not what happened this go around. You know, instead of putting students in training in there, everybody got pulled back. Everybody acted like they were next to a leper, you know, which, again, is quite treatable, right? Now that we're living in 2023, right, or even 1850s, we knew we could treat leprosy. So we're not really living 2,000 years ago with that type of mentality either. But the truth of the matter is you have to, if somebody's ill and they're coming in and physicians are seeing a patient, it's our obligation to try to do something to make them better. But this whole mindset of, well, send them home until they get sicker. I'm sorry. That is not medicine. That is not science. This refusal to see and treat patients who had not been vaccinated by anybody in medicine, I think is unethical. You want to talk about an issue? I think that's unethical. When doctors will not see you because you have not been vaccinated, I think is wrong. I think they should have their medical licenses reviewed.
Agreed.
Because they failed to do their Hippocratic oath. And my mind sits right up behind me on the wall. Okay. I don't have to go too far to remember exactly what I took an oath to.
We can remember. Tell.
Yeah. We got about a minute left. So, you know, your time is important. That we took a 5-minute break and then we have another full second hour. Right. I don't know if you want to hold over or not, but you've been an amazing guest, Dr. Fleming. I'm glad you came on the show. So let's go ahead and give your... You know, if you can stay, we take a 5-minute break. Otherwise, you know, we respect your time. It's up to you.
I did 8 hours worth of interviews today, and you're the only one I have today, or 8 hours of interviews yesterday, and they only scheduled the one for today. So I'm available if you're still interested. I will be happy to stick around.
Yeah, I think we'll keep you around. So with that, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a 5-minute break, back with Dr. Fleming in hour number two. What a fascinating gentleman. What a great interview. Shady, take it away.
Stay tuned for hour number two of the Matrix Groove Show, live on Red State Talk Radio, coming right up after these words in the Matrix with 3X's.com.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. BrighteonStore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code MGSHOW at checkout for additional savings.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There's no such thing as a bad investment. There's only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course, outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever. My Pillow 2.0. When I invented My Pillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. My Pillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. My Pillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of My Pillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a My Pillow or not, you need to get the brand new My Pillow 2.0. Call or go to mypillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Matrix Groove Show on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio. Go to InTheMatrix3X.com. We can hear you.
I've heard on the streets that our heroes are dead, and they cannot save us from evil unspent. Their songs are all over, their ways heaven sent, and we must believe that we're in the state's debt. And these are the days of the Patriot Games, where we sing all the brotherly songs that they sang, and pray for the strength and the courage to stand like the men who brought freedom to this promised land. Streets that our country is torn. We may as well toil till our homes are all gone, and the dreams we once had are but tales of regret, and the labor is nothing, for the money is spent. And these are the days of the Patriot Games, where we sing all the brotherly songs that they sang, and pray for the strength and the courage to stand like the men who spread freedom across this great land. Staking their claim, so pray for the strength and the courage to stand like the men that spread freedom across this great land.
Welcome back to hour number two. That is Patriot Games. The release of Patriot Games is tomorrow on Flannel Friday. We're going to have JT Wild here in the studio. Virtual studio, that is. And we'll maybe have a special guest. You know, Greg Phillips might show up. And then you'll have your boys right here, Shady and Matrix. Welcome back to the show, Shady Groove. And what an amazing interview we're having right now with Dr. Fleming. I got to tell you, this kind of conversation is important. We as Americans need to stand up for what is right. Dr. Fleming certainly seems to be doing that a million times over, and he is a patriot of the nth order, Shady Groove.
Yeah, and also it's not a small thing to stand up against this establishment and fight. And I really just so greatly appreciate all of the voices that come to this show that are willing to put themselves out there and stand up and fight. We've got to all have a little bit more backbone, as he was referring to, moving forward. And I'm hoping that. Yeah, I'm hoping that people decide that seeing other people's example gets them to the conversation, because this is very critical information that Mr. Fleming is sharing with us, Dr. Fleming sharing with us here today.
Excellent. And let's bring him right back in. Dr. Fleming, welcome back to the MG show. Really appreciative that you felt comfortable enough to hang out with us for a little more time. There's a lot of questions in the chat. You know, obviously, we want to make sure. Yeti, put that link up one more time. It's mgshow.link/bio-COVID. All lowercase. That'll get you right to Skyhorse Publishing. Okay. Buy the book, guys. Don't forget to also go to, let me get my links up here again. I think I just closed them. That's always fun. Let's get 10letters.org. Make sure you get the 10letters.org, and also FlemingMethod.com as well. Dr. Fleming, welcome back to the show, and thank you very much for, you know, actually, you know, somebody that is so well-rounded and been in this industry for, you know, 20 years. I know it's 55, but I can't believe that it's 55. God bless you, sir. I'm getting chills. You know, the AIDS epidemic, you know, that was, you know, said to be possibly manufactured, and Fauci was behind that. I remember when the LGBT, whatever community they call themselves, you know, were, you know, calling out the drugs that they did back then. And it looks like we're kind of having a repeat history. I mean, from your experience, but maybe only bigger because it's the entire population. You know, what are your thoughts about how AIDS happened? Was that also manufactured? You know, any thoughts on that? Yep, he's muted. Oh, we got you muted. Hang on 1 second. I think you muted yourself on the monitor. Let's see if you can help him out real quick, Yeti. Refresh your
broadcast. Right,
yeah, so we'll get him right back here. Yep, and let's see if we got him back. He's just okay. He just left. And by the way, Shady, I just let Stacy know that we're loving him right now, and he's here for an hour number two. Dr. Fleming, are you back?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes,
there you
yes,
are.
Sir.
There
you okay, now. Perfect. Great.
No problem.
Wonderful. Technology is great when it works, but when it doesn't, you know, that's why you need a book, because books always will work. You can always open them up. They never have a power outage as long as you have sunlight or something that you can read them by. Plus, they allow you to do all sorts of things which you can't do on a computer.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. What was your last question? Oh, HIV. So a good friend of mine was Professor Luc Montagnier. During the last couple years of his life, he and I were looking at HIV and SARS-CoV-2 for a variety of reasons, partially because Shi Xing Li had taken the glycoprotein 120 of HIV and had attached that to these spike proteins to make them more infective. You know, a lot of people talk about the ACE2 receptor. That's the second step. The first step is this GP, this glycoprotein 120, that swings into what's called a sialic acid receptor. And don't worry, I won't give an exam on that for you this time around. but, you know, Professor Luke and I had several concerns because, again, when I was a medical student, I was also an honors student. So I got to do research. I did research for a year, and I presented on my research and a couple of new diseases, one of which was HIV. And I got told by the faculty I didn't know how to read research because I said, you know, look, this is going to be heterosexually transmitted before the decade is out. And I got told I didn't know how to read research, come back in a decade. They show me there are my ways. Obviously, I didn't go back. I did to give lectures, but not to go back to be shown the error of my ways. And Professor Luke and I were looking at our concerns with Paxlovid and those drugs because it's reminiscent of what was done with HIV. When the people originally had HIV and they started getting treated with what's called protease
quick,
inhibitors.
Dr. Fleming, we're getting weird static now. This happens a lot when we're over the target. Could you do me one more favor and just refresh one more time and it should clear up that static? I'm so sorry.
Okay.
What you're talking about. What Dr. Fleming is talking about is very important, and I want you guys to pay attention because, you know, this is kind of like what they're doing again. I mean, I'm Shady.
This is the same thing that happened when Dr. Huff was on. Almost the same feed problem.
Same. Yeah.
Are
is
you
that better?
Now?
That is yes. So when Dr. Huff was on, this same thing happened. He'd have to refresh every 5 minutes. So let's hope that doesn't continue.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when you're
like
the target.
I'd like to tell you this is the first time for this to happen to me, but it's not, unfortunately. so with HIV, what Professor Luke and I were working on was when the protease inhibitors were first used for HIV, and the HIV viruses were looked at under a microscope, they had one appearance originally. And after the protease inhibitors were used, the outer surface of the HIV virus changed. It lost part of the structure. And then in other parts of the electron microscopy, we could see this clumping of these components. These components are glycoprotein 120. And what happened is the disease came back with a vengeance after these protease inhibitors. What we've seen with Paxlovid, which basically starts to do the same type of thing with the SARS viruses here, is the disease coming back with a vengeance. So this is an example of how important it is to have the scientific background, because one of the things I tell people as an introduction is PhDs know how to solve problems, MDs know how to treat problems, and JDs know how to cause problems. And so for most MDs, they don't know how to solve these problems. That's not the skill set that you get by being a medical doctor. That skill set is memorize large amounts of material, recognize it at an instance, and then treat with what you've been trained to treat, which is part of what's happened here. In the absence for most MDs to know how to research, because they're not PhDs, they were lost. And unlike the AIDS epidemic, where we were less inclined to have the government tell us what to do or to even tolerate it. I mean, again, remember, I've been trained by some of the worst people and some of the best people in medicine and in science. You know, some people I wouldn't give you a penny for, and others, if they were alive and they called me up, I would be there in a heartbeat. You know, people like DeBakey and Cooley, you know, that and Red Duke, that I trained with as a cardiology fellow, that they're probably rolling over in their graves with all this. They, you know, they would not have tolerated anybody coming in and telling them how to practice medicine, right? You want to go practice medicine? Go to medical college, get in, complete it, train, and then practice. You know, that's the sequence you go through. If you haven't done that, don't play doctor. Going on Google doesn't make you one. Being in a federal agency doesn't make you one. Being elected president of the United States doesn't make you one. So, you know, we discovered that these drugs actually made the disease worse. And that's exactly what's happening with Paxlovid. And I love the ad they have. Got COVID? Paxlovid. I'm sorry, guys. Just
yep.
Take your ads and go peddle your drugs. You know, there are much more effective drugs that have been shown to actually treat the attachment. By the way, in 1985, the same people that built these gain-of-function viruses and worked on CRISPR technology also began research on something called E64D or Eloxystat, which is a drug you can't get. Eloxystat is a drug that they showed to prevent viruses from cells, including these viruses, prevent the viruses from replicating themselves, including these viruses, actually corrects the brain injury caused by this disease and even head trauma from sports. And you can't get it, even though it's better than in 2021 remdesivir out of the water.
Dr. Fleming, real quick, it could be that your ear pods are low on battery. I'm not sure. But we've got it back.
I switched over to the Yeti speaker because the ear pods were low. So I went to a Yeti speaker.
Okay. Yeah, try to refresh one more time. And then if that doesn't work, go ahead.
Okay, let me try real quick.
Okay. Let's take him out of the main.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for dealing with that. But that was some very important information. It was audible, and then it became a little bit worse. But, you know, that was some pretty important information to understand. You know, he comes from a place where they were actually concerned about the patients. Let the doctors be doctors, you know. And, you know, that's where we need to get back to, Shady Groove. I mean, the drug companies are telling us how to doctor. I mean, that is insane. You know, Dr. Fauci, he said he wasn't even really in the hospital. How are you? Welcome back. Let's see what we got.
How's this? Is that better?
That's a lot better for now anyways. Right. So, so you were talking about the run death is near, excuse me, rem disappear. so we kind of got you garbled with your last couple of sentences, if you wanted to kind of repeat that. But it was very important information.
Yeah, what we know is that these drugs like Paxlovid that have the same effect as the protease inhibitors did for HIV actually made HIV worse, and Paxlovid is tending to make these SARS patients, the COVID patients, worse because it just starts to alter the molecules. But the viruses are very pleomorphic, very able to change, and they will adapt to whatever is being done to them. But we know that there's a lot of drugs that are available. And I think, you know, I was talking about Eloxystatin, and hopefully you get everything on that. But this is a drug that they've been researching, the same people, since 1985, that shows that it works to prevent the attachment, including of these viruses, and the replication of these viruses, and the brain injury caused by these viruses. It also helps with the brain injury of people in motor vehicle accidents or sporting activities, but you can't get it. The FDA hasn't approved a drug that's been shown to be effective and, oh my, safe. And it was compared in 2021 with remdesivir, and it just blew remdesivir out of the water. So I've never seen a drug peddled, and I'm going to use that term, Dr. Fauci, because if you look at your videotape of you sitting in the Oval Office of the White House, you look like a pharmaceutical rep. And for all the pharmaceutical reps out there, I apologize to you, because I realize now that might be offensive, that you look like you were just a drug dealer on the corner saying, here, use this. And by the way, remdesivir, if you look at the National Clinical Trial website, which has my study on it as well, and you look to see what's being looked at in a study, you will discover that a week and a half, about 7 to 10 days before remdesivir was released at that Oval Office press conference by Dr. Fauci, they changed the primary endpoints of the study, which means they looked at the outcomes and that didn't work. So 10 days before letting everybody know about it, they just changed what they were going to use as the outcomes so that it kind of looked like it might work. Yeah. So it's just, well, wait a minute. We're used to Dr. Fauci doing this, because in front of Senator Dr. Rand Paul, he wants to now redefine what gain of function is. Yeah. But he'd like to blame somebody else for doing that. He'd like to blame a committee of people that basically are run by him and other people in the system to cover their tails by changing. You know, this is like when you're a kid growing up and you go play a sport, right? And the other kids change the rules. And you can't win because it just changed the rules, right?
That's just like
why,
that.
Again, the civil. Yeah, it's exactly like that. And that's why the civil suits won't win until the criminal case wins, because they've changed the rules on the civil side. They've changed the rules. They've got the administrative agencies like the FDA and the licensing boards all following their direction. So the doctors aren't going to win these cases on which drugs to treat. And on the genetic vaccines, well, look, the FDA approved them. That's the agency. So they changed the rules. There's nothing being broken as a law here. The mandates, you know, when we went into emergency mode in January of 2020, that opened these mandates to be used. So they just changed the rules, but they can't change the rules on the criminality of the gain of function research. They're stuck with that one. And that's what they'd like you to not pay attention to. They'd like you to not look at the man behind the curtain over there, because if you do, you might just discover the world that you've been living in is Oz.
It's so true. I feel like we're in Twilight Zone, but Twilight Zone is much more believable. It's so crazy right now, the way the world is. What a great statement. Yeah. I got another question from the chat. They're kind of interested in, they wanted me to ask you the question about shedding when you take the vaccine. Is that why they timed out the different vaccines? Like, oh, 4 weeks. Oh, you know, you get your booster. And then what is your take on the shedding?
Right. So there's two things: the frequency of the of getting vaccinated, which is dumbing down the immune response from what's called IgG3 to IgG4, so that it's allowing people to no longer respond to the vaccines like they're different from the human body. It's beginning to respond to like, oh, this, we see this frequently. This is just part of your body. So we're not going to react harmfully to it, which allows these CRISPR genetic modifications to get into your cells more easily. So that's that side. As far as shedding is concerned, you know, there's a couple of things to take into consideration. First off, there's something called transferable and transmissible vaccines. these are vaccines that can be injected into somebody, and when they come into contact with somebody else, it's transferred or transmitted, and it's just a matter of intensity. Now, those papers have been published. I presented them first, I think, to people at Event 2021 in June of 2021, and it was well worth watching the response of the audience go, they did what? Because you see the published papers where they talk about different viruses like HIV and rabies and hepatitis and SARS-CoV-2. And then they talk about the vector, you know, lipid nanoparticle or an adenovirus, you know, like they use in the vaccines. And then they talk about the animal model in which this has been studied. Mouse, rat, rabbit, dog. For SARS-CoV-2, the animal model was human. Human.
Wow.
Is the animal model that they did the research on for vaccines, for transferable transmissible vaccines for SARS-CoV-2, these viruses, right? So clearly that can transfer from person to person. Is there such a thing as shedding? Well, you don't have to take my word for it. Go read the federal governments, and you can go to Fleming Method, and somewhere on there you'll find that the federal government, including the FDA and Health and Human Services, two of the people involved in all of this, agencies involved in this, issued a guidance to the industry on gene therapy and shedding. Their paper. And in 2021, they did a follow-up, their own paper, guidance to the industry. Big Pharma, this is what you need to know. And then in 2021, these same agencies, along with CDER, which is one of the people also at the FDA that hates me because I keep pointing out that they're not checking what they should be checking, you know, how to win friends, influence enemies, that type of thing. they issued a report in 2021, and they were a little cuter. They said shedding is the product of the vector. Okay, great terminology. You have to go to a footnote to read that. Well, what's the vector? Well, the vector is the lipid nanoparticle or the adenovirus. What's the product of that? Well, the product of that is the genetic sequence, the RNA or the DNA. And what's the product of that? Well, it's spike protein. Do we know what's being transferred from person to person or how much? No, we don't, because we don't know what to look for. Are we looking for spike proteins? Are we looking for mRNA? Are we looking for DNA? Are we looking for the adenoviruses? Are we looking for the lipid nanoparticles? We don't know. Who's got the money to investigate that? Well, it's not me, okay, and it's probably not you. Well, the U.S. government might have the money because they just make it out of thin air anyway and fund whatever they want to, and they've already spent trillions. You know, every time I think of the money we've spent since this has happened, that $61 million that I was so impressed by up front for the research just kind of pales in the wind, although if somebody offers you $61 million, take it. But, you know, I mean, there's no way to know what's being shed. Are there people that report symptoms, rashes coming next to other people? There are. Are there people reporting menstrual irregularities? There are. While we're on menstrual irregularities, let's hit this topic. So ACE2 receptors, angiotensin converting enzyme 2, in case you want to know what that is, a special lock on the cell membrane, exists in the heart and blood vessels, number one, more than any place else. Where's the number two place that we see ACE2 receptors in the human body? In ovaries and testes. Right? Okay. Right. So if somebody's saying it doesn't make sense, my response is, I'm sorry. What part of, well, you probably didn't take a biochemistry class, did you? Or a biology class or a cell class, even though you're at a federal agency trying to tell us that this isn't how it works. This is how it works. If you have a receptor, oh, let's back this up too. Anybody who thinks that you inject a vaccine into somebody and it stays at the site is either selling you something or on something. Well-known study published in 2017 by Moderna with lipid nanoparticle influenza vaccines, just one of several papers that have been published, showed that when it was injected into the animal models, those lipid nanoparticles with the genetic material were found in the brain, the bone marrow, the liver, the spleen, the kidneys, every organ by, and in the blood, by the way, every organ tissue there is. Nothing stays at the site. You're not injecting it directly into cells. You're injecting it into a tissue that has extracellular fluid that drains off by lymphatics that gets it to the bloodstream. It has to get to the lymphatics to make an immune response.
Right? Uh-huh.
This is not rocket science. Okay, you don't have to be a physicist, my original degree. You don't have to be a PhD in physics to make sense out of this. This is not like sending a rocket to Mars. This is basic bread and butter biology. And I know the general public, this is way outside of what you're normally studying, right? I mean, virus is not something most people were familiar with. If you wanted to pick something to confuse people, this was certainly it. But the reality is that the agencies, all these beautiful federal agencies that we pay tax dollars to employ people to work on our behalf, should have people in it that know something about this, and they should be only be telling you what they know. They shouldn't be conjecturing. They shouldn't be confabulating. They shouldn't be lying to the American public and the rest of the world, yep. By the way, because when you're doing it here, you're lying to everybody on the planet. And it looks really bad for the United States when our agencies are lying to everyone.
Amen to that. You know, so you mentioned something like, so if we didn't take the vaccine, we're the control group. Is that what we are in this test on the humans?
Yeah, well, it's where I'm at. I'm in the control group.
Me too.
I've never taken any of these vaccines.
Yeah.
And I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm anti-stupid. Okay.
Me too.
Love it.
You know, there was no data that showed they were effective, right?
You know, I'm not an election denier. I do agree elections happen, but does the outcome always, is there cheating? Maybe there is. I don't know. So, you know, I wanted to go back to what you said in hour number one in regards to we're in phase two, and we're talking about the VAERS numbers of deaths, 35,000, 1.5 million maimed or injured by the vaccine as reported by VAERS, and those numbers are way low. So we're in phase two. Let's say that we don't get to the bottom. What happens in the future? What is your perception or, you know, opinion? What might happen in the future? Are we going to see more deaths? I mean, we're now seeing deaths closer to our families. We're seeing people injured.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing people with their legs and blood clots. My friend's dad had to get, you know, a vein, you know, sealed off and rerouted. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, what it's a hard question, but let's say, we need to get over to 10letters.org and sign it and send it, guys, today. But what do you think is happening? What are the next phases of this death cult, if you will,
for
lack of a better term?
So I rarely give opinions outside of a private setting. And the reason for that is that if I give an opinion, somebody's going to quote it as fact, and I have to live with it later on. Number two, you have friends and relatives to get opinions from. And as I tell people, you're not coming over at Thanksgiving, and I don't have a present for you under the tree, so you probably don't want my opinion. And if you ask my three children, they'll caution you just how wonderful it is to have my opinion. So I stick with the facts. I stick with the facts. And here's the facts. There's about 40 of the papers that I have that trace the people involved with gain of function research and CRISPR technology. And they trace back to an understanding of where CRISPR technology comes from, which is how do bacteria protect themselves from viruses? And that's the CRISPR-9 protein that really the genetic code of viruses get into the cells. Bacteria are single cells, so they don't have memory cells. They are the cell. They're the entire organism. So they slice up the genetic sequence. They put it into their DNA so that when they get reinfected, they have the ability to make CRISPR-9 or Cas9 molecules to slice up the viruses, which opened up the door for understanding how to get genetic sequences into human DNA. We've known it for a long time. 18% of our DNA is what's called long interspersed nucleotide elements one. It takes outside genetic sequences from viruses and puts it into our DNA. 18% of our DNA is that. Most of our DNA is designed to, it is not designed to make proteins. It's designed to say, should I make a protein? You have to trigger it. That's part of the issue with that. When you trace these people back, so the federal government, the agencies and Gates and the Helmsley Foundation and the people, a lot of people connected with Jeffrey Epstein, by the way. Really good.
Oh, we know.
Group of people. And you, you trace them back. You will see that they trace back to what's called Lamarckian genetics. Okay. Now, Lamarck was a geneticist that existed pre-World War II. And most people are aware of, if you've heard about genetics, you've basically heard about Mendelian genetics or Mendel. Okay. Which has flaws to it. But pre that, there was something called Lamarck. Lamarckian genetics. And Lamarck said, the reason why giraffes have this classic story explaining it, the reason why giraffes have long necks is because they stretch their necks so they could eat the leaves high in the trees. And then they pass that on to their offspring. Okay, now, what happened is that the giraffes with long necks were able to eat the leaves and they passed it on to their, onto their offspring. But the point of Lamarck was you could change something from what it was to something else. Okay? You following me here?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And
it's a
this Lamarckian approach, this Lamarckian approach came to the United States out of Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Imagine.
This perspective, what drove Adolf Hitler's work with Joseph Mengele and the others was to see how they could influence genetics, obviously for the good of humanity, which they viewed as the German people, because the only people that Hitler, maybe the one thing you got right, the only thing that Hitler saw as superior to the Germans were the Nordics, right? Vikings, right? With my bloodline. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I would go along with that, right? But the reality is you could change. So what are they doing with the genetic vaccines that I just talked about that started rolling out in phase two? They are implementing the process of making changes in human DNA. Now, to do a research project, you need one of two things, either a long time or a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've learned in the last 39 months, we have a lot of volunteers. If you scare people and or you coerce them to take these genetic vaccines, you can find out real fast what works and what doesn't. So some people have talked about this as they're trying to kill off humans. I don't think that's what they're doing. They're basically saying, look, I need lab animals to get the results for humans. And these folks are lining up. And, you know, look, if we lose some people to make a better human, longer life, less disease, so be it. It's for the betterment of humanity or, you know, as Hitler would have said, the German people. But Fauci, you know, I'm not going to do that to the Italians. You guys have enough to worry about without having to connect up with Fauci in your ancestry. you know, we can't hold this on the Italian people just because Fauci's originally from Italy. You know, his family anyway. reality is this has been opened. And unless we stop them, unless people go to 10letters.org and get these attorney generals to do the job they said they would do, we have rolled out the red carpet for what they're doing, and they've already started. I warned people before, you know, in the fall of last year, I said, I think we had 3 months, which would put us at the end of October. And I hate it when, you know, I see facts coming through, but I wasn't, you know, wasn't pulling it out of thin air. I was listening to what other people around the world are telling me from South Africa and Germany and Italy and Australia and New Zealand and the Philippines and the UK and Canada. I'm listening to these sources of data that I'm getting of what's happening in other countries, what changes are occurring. And you can see it. And all they do is they perturb the system enough to keep everybody. I mean, this is basic how you manipulate things. And I did my master's studies in psychology. So, you know, I can tell you it's not that hard to manipulate a human being. And you've been pretty well played, and they have a learning curve that they've been doing for the last 39 months. If you thought they were, you know, tapping into your brains and trying to figure out beforehand, this has been a beautiful 39 month learning curve. On the other side of the equation, they're pretty pleased with this. A little stressed that people might be catching on to this and might come after them and hold them accountable. But other than that, they've been having a really good time. I mean, imagine you're outside the rat's cage and you're manipulating the rat and you're watching the rat and you're entertained by it. You know, that's good until you put your finger in the cage and the rat bites it. Yeah. New thing.
So this is, you know, knowledge is power, guys. Information is power. The information in this show is powerful. Dr. Fleming, you are amazing. And, you know, we just need to protect our DNA. Is this a war for our DNA? And, you know, so we need to protect it.
They would argue they're doing the right thing. I think that's important for people to understand. Adolf Hitler never thought he was doing the wrong thing. Villains mm-hmm. never believe they're doing the wrong thing. You have to make a decision. I mean, I did early work in physics that I buried because I could see what would happen with it. And that was maybe the hardest decision I've had to do scientifically in my life, because it was something I wanted desperately to do, but I could see how it would be abused. And ethics and morals, you know, you can get a degree by being trained in something, but you don't go someplace to get trained morally. That happens at home. That happens at home. And nobody can do that for you. If it's not happening at home, you're getting it from somebody else's home, but you're not getting it. I would argue you're not getting it from a variety of sources that other people think you're getting it from. You either get it from the people closest to you. I guess you can find it in yourself. But to do that, you have to be able to reflect that and say, who am I emulating? What's my model I'm using? You know, and when I was a kid growing up, we had, you know, silly things like Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, who I met both of them personally. I knew them both later in life. And you saw people that you could actually look up to and revere and respect and say, this person is always trying to do, you know, the right thing. Right. And, you know, there's a book that I saw once that said, how you do anything is how you do everything. And it is true. What you do as a human being penetrates how you respond in your life with the people around you, with your children, with your job, with the discussions that you have with people. If you don't think that's true, watch the movies. Watch the movies, and you know, the key to acting is to not act. So I'm also a SAG actor for people who really care. And the key is, if you look at anything I've ever been in and you know me, you will look at that and go, well, that's Fleming. That's just Fleming. And it's not acting, because I get the lines, I memorize them, I recognize the scenario, but then what you're seeing is Fleming in that role, carrying it out. You read me and everything on that. And if you see what people do repeatedly, that's their character. And you can really kind of look at what they do and say, well, that person watching them repeatedly in all these different scenes really has that core character. They really are affected by somebody close to them dying. You can see it, because you can't act that. When people act, it looks bad. You go, ick, you know, I need a shower. But when it's real, you see it and you can tell genuine, you know, my parents and grandparents were very good at seeing genuine personality in somebody. And that's what people really need to have as a skill set. My dad had an eighth grade education. My mother, he was raised during the Great Depression. My mother had a high school education. They are the smartest people I ever met in my life. I'm not nearly as smart as they were. And nobody who trained me are as smart as my parents were. They could look at something. They could read it in a heartbeat. They could tell you if it was genuine or if it was fake. Now, they would call it common sense or, you know, just good old fashioned logic and reasoning. But they had that. And they, fortunately, I guess, sadly, have passed away. So they haven't had to endure any of this nonsense. But they would not have tolerated this. And which subsequently means I can't tolerate any of this. You know, my science, my medicine, I suppose my law, right? It's supposed to be good. But who I am and how I was raised, I don't have a choice here. I have to rally and seek out to find that part of the American public who can put away petty differences in this discussion to focus on the crux core matter of this disease and go after these people to hold them accountable, because they recognize how important it is for the people they care about and for them as the integrity that they have as a human being.
Yeah. I think that's pretty remarkable to talk about. And I think one thing that is kind of the gap, if you will, maybe if there is one, but I think a lot of people are very confused and they don't really understand like what happened to the profession, what happened to the doctor profession. And maybe you could talk just for a minute or two about like a little bit of the conversations you have with some of your colleagues, because it definitely seems like we have this discrepancy between a good amount of physicians are coming out and they're saying truthfully and honestly what's going on, and then we have this other whole segment of the healthcare industry that is going right along with this and seemingly lining their pockets all the way home. And it really did create this like vast confusion. Are the people, does like everybody know what's really going on and half the doctors are pretending, or like what's your assessment of that? Because doctors, effectively, people trusted their doctors a few years ago,
and now
we're all like wondering what to do.
Right. And so, I mean, that's one of the first questions that when somebody says doctor, I say doctor of what? You've got to tell me what, you know, because it's like Dr. Biden. I think that's an education degree, which in no way entitles you to make scientific or medical comments. Right. I mean, great. You want to have a discussion about education? I'm there with you. Let's have that conversation. But don't play medical doctor. So that's always my first thing. And you heard me, I think during the first hour, I said PhD solves problems. MDs treat problems, JDs cause problems. Medical doctors are not trained to think through new process. What do I do? I mean, that, and you've seen this. Somebody comes in, you don't quite know what it is, but well, it's kind of like something else we did, and here's what we did, so I guess we'll try that, right? Okay, so I think by and large, the vast majority of the medical community really wasn't caught up to speed. I mean, again, in 1994, I presented the theory that explained all of this at American Heart. Again, in 95, published in a textbook in 99, did the bacterial studies 2001, 2003. For crying out loud, I was on 2020 in 2004, which was my last debut with mainstream media because I think they got sick of me after that. But what I did is I kind of thought that got it out there. So I don't think there's an excuse, but clearly when this happened, they hadn't read the theory. They didn't have an understanding. I mean, I hear people talking about cytokine storm. That's not what it is. Cytokine storm are the four wheels of the car. Inflammatory thrombosis is so much more than just cytokines. And if you don't think so, go buy four tires, put them in your driveway, go sit in between them and see if you can drive off. No, you have four tires. Okay. It's not a vehicle. So you got part of the picture, but not everything. Okay. You're kind of working with gaps here. Particularly when it's raining, go enjoy that. But you know, one thing that was very encouraging was that when I presented this work at the American Society of Nuclear Cardiology Conference, so we'd done the research, we published the paper, which has now also been quoted in other peer-reviewed journals like the Green Journal of Internal Medicine, which is the main internal medicine one. But at the ASNIC conference in Orlando last September, I presented this. I presented our results. And the doctors didn't say, well, those drugs don't work. What they said to a person was, oh my God, there's the data. There's the, it works. It's like, yeah. And they were just stunned. Okay. But they were also open and receptive to it. And the problem is that in all this manipulation and fog and confusion that's been going on with people and who's in charge and who's on first and what's on second and that routine. The reality is they haven't quite known what to do, right? I mean, and the other thing is that doctors, by and large, you know, while back with HIV, we weren't owned by the hospitals. Yeah. We were doctors. We went into hospitals, right? And we went into our offices, but we owned ourselves. Insurance companies didn't own us. The government didn't own us. The hospitals didn't own us. Now the vast majority of us are nothing more than, you know, sparkly employees, you know, sadly enough. And that takes away some of your ability to make independent decisions. That's a problem. And I have to deal with that. I mean, above and beyond what I'm asking everybody to do with 10letters.org and to get the information and learn what you need to learn, people like me have to now go address what happened to science and medicine. It got hijacked. Yeah. And it got hijacked partially because we allowed it to happen. Everybody got too complacent, lived in our own little bubbles, and forgot what Benjamin Franklin told the woman. What type of government, system of government are you giving us? A republic, madam, if you can keep it.
You can keep it. Yep. Wow. What a great guest.
A republic, not a democracy, folks.
Amen to that. Sir. And most everybody here understands that for sure. Dr. Fleming, you have been an amazing guest. I hope you will come back soon. We're seeing a lot of great, Poussaint says, thank you for the happy birthday wishes and that you're an amazing guest. She's part of our team. It's her birthday today and you wish her happy birthday. But you know, is COVID-19 a bioweapon? Get that book today. Go to mgshow.link/bio-COVID, all lowercase if you're listening to us on the radio, or go to skyhorsepublishing.com and just search out, Richard Fleming with one M. Fleming is with one M. Hello. I tell you, I'm trying to do eight things at the same time. This is 10letters.org, guys. You need to make sure you go to 10 letters. It's the number 10letters.org. Get over there. This is the time to band together as Americans to stand up for our rights. And let's get these letters. Start building my letter right here, guys. Do it today. I love this. You let one ant stand up to us and they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. If we ever let them figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. And that's what they're trying to do to you guys. We're ants. And if we all stand up, you know, we will be able to fight back. Do you have any parting comments as you are so gracious with your time, sir? Thank you so very much, Dr. Richard M. Fleming. How's that? I got it all right.
There you go. No, it's my pleasure to be here. Just remember the cover letter and the indictment letter, which is right above the head of the ant. Download that as well. Send it both to the governors and the attorney generals. Make the people do their job. The ones that have the integrity to do it, let them know you're behind them. The cowards that don't, we're going to get them to take and stand up and do something about it too. And this is not a red state, blue state, because I'll tell you right now, the three states with the most letters are Texas, Florida, and California. And California and Florida are tied.
All right. I'm in Florida, so we're going to try to get that up. But we have a lot of Texas listeners. We've got some Arizona listeners. Let's get Arizona up on that list. We've got a lot of listeners worldwide as well. Dr. Fleming, thank you for your time, sir. You've been an amazing guest and, you know, come back soon. Parting thoughts for the audience as you leave us.
You know, the reason why we're doing this is because these people can be defeated. They need to be defeated. They've taken our money. They've violated the law. they have produced genetic viruses that are biological weapons. They have copied that code and put it into genetic vaccines, and they're running amok. No bad person in history ever stopped being a bad person just because they thought, oops, wait a minute, what I'm doing is wrong. It has always required the average individual who knew the difference between right and wrong to stand up. And everybody in history who thought they could get by with this nonsense has been brought to their knees by, as my parents used to say, the little man, the common man, the everyday man and woman who had more integrity than the people who were running the program. And it's time to remind them that Americans have integrity and will hold them accountable. And we will answer the question the rest of the world is asking, which is, where are you, America? We have not died. We have not ceased to exist. It's time to take our country and our world back.
And it's time to tell the truth. No matter who you are, guys, it's time to, the truth is bad enough. And it's not a citizen thing. God bless you. Thank you so much, Dr. Fleming.
Thank you.
Shady.
Happy birthday.
Wow. Thank you. So there's end of another show, Shady Groove. Go ahead.
Yeah, again, I just wanted to say, MG Show, bringing you guys some tangible things that you can sink your teeth into, something that you can really do. Be part of the process. Just like he's saying there, we have to set the example for everybody. That's a little bit of what we're doing here at the MG Show. And we're trying to bring you guests that can help you do that. That's part of the reason that we had him on here today, because we see that he is a strong voice. He's amplifying, and he's got a lot of tools in his toolbox that we were showing you there at his website, 10letters.org. Please get over there. Please support him, because this is something that you could do. You don't have to be in any specific state. You have, if you're in America, you already have a state. They have an attorney general. They have a place for you to send this to. Please do it. Yeah. We encourage you greatly to get on that today, if you would.
And you know, we can't thank you enough for the Rumble rants. I wasn't able to shout them out because this guest was so fascinating. Guys, thank you so much. But we are funded by you. We do this every day in order to remain online and do shows for you every day. And keep our website up and all this other stuff. We need your help. Thank you for the Rumble rants. Go to mg.show/donate. Tomorrow is Flannel Friday, Shady Groove. We're going to have the JT Wild with Greg Phillips tomorrow. Flannel Friday. Shady, great show. Love you guys. Also, we're out of here. Oh,
also, the second hour tomorrow will be Dr. Judy Mikovits will be joining us, by the way.
I got you. And the truth is bad enough, guys. And I want to play this on the way out. God bless Dr. Fleming. Prayers up for his safety and continuing fight against what we all know. What a great conversation today, guys. The truth is bad enough. Shady, we'll see you tomorrow for Flannel Friday.
Let's love Patriots.
And just like I've told you for many, many years, you don't have to lie about things. You don't have to sensationalize them. You don't have to make anything up. You don't have to invent figures. The truth is bad enough. The truth's bad enough. And if you tell the truth, you have credibility. And credibility means people will listen to you. Credibility means things will be tended to. When you lie and people find out that you're lying, and it's easy, it is so easy to discover, then you have no credibility. You become a liar. You become somebody with no confidence factor. You become a rumor monger. You become a minion of the old. Who was it? Oh, who was it that was billed as the great deceiver? I wonder who that was. See, whenever you spread a rumor, whenever you tell a lie, whenever you stretch the truth or sensationalize something, and I don't care what the reason is that you do it, you become an ally of the great deceiver. Somebody called him Heinrich Himmler. Somebody else called him Lucifer. Somebody else called him Satan. You can call him anybody you want. But listen to me very carefully. He's not anybody I want around me. His minions are not anybody that I want to know or be associated with or hear from.
His minions and allies and supporters are not the people that I care about. You want to be on his side? Stay the hell away from me. Don't call me. Don't write me. Don't reference me. Don't email me. I don't want anything to do with you. If you're a spreader of rumors and lies and disinformation and sensationalization and all of this other bullshit. Do you hear me, sheeple? I don't know why it makes people so angry. You know, if all get off your butts and do the same research that I do, you would know the same things that I know, and you shouldn't be angry or jealous or upset. What you should be is thankful for having forewarning so that you can act upon it. But do you ever act upon anything? Have you ever? Will you ever? That's the question. That is the hinge upon which the door to the future operates. You don't know that. You don't give a damn, probably. Because to oil the hinge and make the door work and make it all better, you got to get up off your ass and do something. Oh, heaven forbid you have to do that. Oh my goodness, you might even have to take some kind of personal risk. You might even get on somebody's list. Oh, people might even start to respect you because you cease to become worthless.
www.mg.show.
Oh, who am I to dream like that? Ah! Come on, Bill. I mean, you know, you're really getting away with yourself here, dreaming like that. Come on. Come on, Bill. Get real.
Boom.